It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yo, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura Wilhelm here, ESPN 850 WKNR. Mateo, how are you, my brother?
Just wanting to hear the second part of Ray Horton's
Throw
interview.
Throw it to it. Do it.
Yeah, coming up now. Part two.
Coming up now, WNBC.
Second time around, defense coordinator of your Cleveland Browns, Ray Horton.
I understand you were under contract. Your mentor and friend was there at your side. Why did you leave Tennessee?
A number of reasons. One is to be with Coach Hugh. Two is easy. I really have fallen in love with the city and the people. And a chance to come back. And, a lot of times people say they can go where they want to go. I could have stayed where I wanted to stay, or I could have left to go where I wanted to go. And it's easy to say. The people have treated me outstanding up here, and that says a lot. It really does. It says a lot about the people. And when you come in, it's hard to grasp that. But I love how the people have treated me here.
Ray, you're really hard on yourself. The last time we talked to you back in 2013 at the end of the season, just saying you put it on your shoulders and guys were finishing. Do you feel like you have unfinished business coming back?
Well, here's what I think our unfinished business is. When I watch the passion of the fans here to bring a winner here, that's what's unfinished. I think the people out here, and I said this when I first got here, to do what they did, to challenge the league, to keep the team here, to keep a team here, is remarkable passion for a city and a franchise. And gives me kind of goosebumps. I love the people of Cleveland. I really do.
Ray, when you look at Paul Kruger, he left here a little bit upset last year. He didn't really like the way that he was used. He went from 11 sacks the year before down to 2.5 last year, dropped back into coverage a lot. What do you see when you look at Paul Kruger, what do you think you can hope to get out of him in terms of pass rush ability?
Well, we've got to help him. We've got to be able to give him a Batman to his Robin or a Robin to his Batman, whoever he wants to be in the equation. We've got to give him help on the other side. And he obviously in this league, you can't just rush all. You can't be one-dimensional. You can't rush all the time. You've got to drop. You've got to do different things. Whether we rush eight guys or whether we rush three, you've got to do what's called in the defense. And we're going to give him opportunities. There's no question about it. When Paul gets back into the town, we'll sit down and we'll talk. And he's one of our better players. And I'll ask him, I'll say, I don't know what happened. Don't really care. What can you do better this year? And he's one of our elite players that has to play better for us. And we'll give him every opportunity to like the defense to rush. He's going to rush. So I want him to stay in and rush. He won't be going out. I want him to stay in and rush. He'll get his opportunities.
Joe Hayden had his first of two Pro Bowl seasons under you, and then this past season, injuries limited him to 5 games, 2 concussions, obviously. Just what's your level of confidence that Joe can bounce back from what it was essentially a lost year? How do you view that?
He was in 2 days ago, and he and his wife, they're opening a store downtown, a shoe store. So if you're in the market for some shoes, go downtown. And Joe will be a vital part. He's one of our elite players that has to play better. And I told him that. I said, are you ready to go? He said, yes, sir. I said, I'll see you on April 4th. I love Joe's athletic ability. I love his leadership ability. And as long as he's healthy, he'll be on the field starting for us. And, expect good things out of Joe Hayden.
You ran the 3-4, and then they had 3-4 after you. But can you talk about the differences between your scheme and theirs? And maybe is it an advantage that a lot of these guys, or at least some of them, were with you a couple years ago?
I think that's a definite advantage, ease of transition for them. I'm not sure of the difference between the defenses. I'm not sure of the terminology. I didn't look at their playbook. For us, we're ever evolving. The league evolves. I don't know if there's a real difference other than maybe philosophy, how you call a game. But I go back to our players. If our big guys will run for us and our little guys will hit, we'll be okay. And we have a lot of work to do. We're not there. We're not close. But I like the effort of our guys. We're going to be a 3-4. We're going to be a four-man. We want Danny on the field, and you know we'll have some new players in. I'm excited because the players that were here when I were here worked hard, played hard for us, and had some success, and that's what we want.
When you look at the roster, you go, we need to get better at whatever, pass rusher or inside linebacker. You'd be targeted at the spots that you need to get better at?
Yes, meaning we didn't win enough games last year. We weren't in the top 12, 15, 14 in defense last year. We didn't help the offense win enough games last year. All those things come in, whether it's you know the red zone, whether it's turnovers. We do. We have to get better. We have to – the thing I will preach to our team is we need to be a championship defense to help this offense, meaning our offense is going to get there. When the offense gets there, when we get there, we'll have our team ready to go. I think I don't want to try to say it's a simple answer. It's if we do this, we'll be there. We have work to do. I think the players understand that. When you talk about Paul being frustrated, when Joe missed X amount of games, with Tashawn being their free agent, there's a lot of moving pieces, and we'll be fluid. But whichever 53 we end up with, we're going to make a heck of a run at winning games and winning our division. Now, are we going to win our division this year? I don't know if we are or not, but we're going to give them hell.
Right, when you came here in 2013 and you guys signed Kruger,
mm-hmm.
you got to the draft and you're looking for that other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you've come full circle, really. It's the same situation.
Every year it's going to be that situation. When you here's the league. The league has a 5-yard rule. You can't touch a receiver. Now, once that receiver goes up, you can't hit him high. You can't hit him too low. You can't hit him too hard. There's a rule on the quarterback. You can't hit him in the head. You can't hit him in the knee. You can't throw him to the ground. The rules change. You better affect the quarterback. Now, I go back to the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl game. They affected the quarterback. So next year we'll be looking for a rusher. The year after that we'll be looking for – you'll be looking for that guy a long time until they change the rules of the game. When the guy that has the statue down at the stadium, when he comes back and is the best player in the league, when that running back is the best player in the league, we won't be looking for that guy anymore. But until they change it, we'll be looking for a guy that can get around the corner and hit the quarterback.
When you look at the names that are on this defense, mm-hmm. you hear the Joe Haydens, the Tayshawn Gibsons, Paul Kruger, Danny Shelton. Do you feel like there's a lot of untapped potential here that you need them maybe to overachieve? Did they underachieve last year? I mean, this defense wasn't very good.
If you give me the names you mentioned, I'll be ready to go.
Ray, do you have a take on Justin Gilbert? How much of him have you seen?
Only from Baylor University. I remember he picked a pass off against Andrew Luck and returned it for a touchdown. That's what I want from him. I want to use his God-given ability to play football at a high level. That's what I want from Justin Gilbert.
Right. I know that you just got done talking about how important it is as a passing league. But since you've left the last couple of years, and I don't recall what you guys were against the rush,
mm-hmm.
but they were last in the league the last 2 years against the rush. When you look at this video, do you think it was more of guys? Was it more scheme, or do you just think that what do you have to do to get better against the run?
The very simple, and am I talking to the players a little bit? Yes. Am I talking to our coaches a little bit? Yes. We have to teach fundamentals, and we want to be a very sound defense, but very aggressive. And when you every guy will have a job. We need, and I'm talking to the coaches too, we need everybody, every Cleveland Brown, to do their job. As simple as that, to do your job. And we understand what it takes. We as coaches have to get our players to do their job. Now, is your job going to be a dirty job sometime? Yeah, it is. Is your job going to be to win the game sometimes when it's called? Yes, it is. We need you to do your job.
When you look at the run defense, it's been a perennial problem. I mean, they spent a lot of money to try to fix it last year. It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the film, what do you think is the root of that problem?
I think if our coaches that Mr. Haslam hired to do their job can do their job, it should and it will and it has to improve. It takes guys that are willing to get down in the dirt and do their job. And that means you've got to come up and support. You come up and support. If that means you've got to take on two blockers, you take on two blockers. It means that we're going to be fundamentally sound and we're going to be aggressive. Now, am I a miracle worker? I am not. Are we going to bust our butts to be better? Absolutely. Do I think we're going to be better? I think we are. I expect it. I'm going to demand it. So am I saying we're going to be better?
Years that the system was so complex that guys didn't have, they were thinking and not reacting. Can you just talk about you weren't here, so okay. I'm not asking about that, but your philosophy on thinking versus just playing?
I think it's simpler when you can just react. I would be surprised, I'd be very surprised if our players said, this is too complicated to learn. Is it complex? Yes. And I have a saying, and they'll see it very soon, everything is simple if you understand it. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it's simple if you understand it. And we try to teach and deliver in a way that's very simple. But it is complex, but it's very simple if you understand it. And they will have zero issue, or I'll change it. If it's too complex, I'll change it for them.
That was part two of Ray Horton. When we come back, we're going to go through the tight end position review. We'll get a six-pack of questions there. 2:30, Pep Hamilton, senior offensive assistant with the Cleveland Browns. Lev is interview for you at 2:30. Coming up on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I fibbed. We're not doing tight ends. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for fibbing. We're going to do that tomorrow. So,
all of you who tuned in or, you know, recording us.
Let me tell you something. Tight ends. Big play gear. Next topic.
So you need to know.
But we do have our guy.
He's deaf in the headphones.
We do have Jason Gibbs sitting with us. Now, Gibbs.
Hi.
You were here in 2013 for the first go-round with Ray Horton.
Love Ray.
You heard him today. Sounded like a different guy to me in some respects. A little bit more reserved, like a little bit more...
Really?
Humbled a little bit. Yeah, remember when he first came in, he was like pretty rah-rah. We're going to do this. We're going to be this. We're going to dominate.
I still thought that.
I thought the way that he went about it was just a little more reserved. And what did you like about what you heard from him?
I think, you know, he knows he's got a tall task in front of him. They have regressed since he was gone.
They have. And I think, first and foremost, some of the names that he mentioned without even being, you know, technically asked questions about it is naming some of the elite players that are not essentially living up to the contracts they're receiving, playing their best football. Because those are the things that good teams take for granted is the guys they pay a lot of money to performing at a high level. Now it's raising everybody else around those players that you take for granted and have them playing at a higher level, and that's where you get high-quality defense.
I thought it was interesting, the thing when Paul Kruger came up, and he basically said, you know, I wasn't here. I don't know what happened last year. But not giving him a pass entirely, and just basically without saying it, word for word, coming out and saying, you know, if you're going to even remotely bring an attitude like that into this building, I don't want it. You know, I'm going to push you. You may not, the grass might not be greener. by the time I'm done with you.
But he said, I will give you the opportunity to rush the quarterback at least.
Exactly. I mean, it was interesting, some of the things that he said.
What about the back-to-back questions about the run defense that were the exact same question simultaneously?
Just maybe phrased a different way by one or two words.
Or zero. But it does seem like he what we liked is that people are going to have roles. They're going to have assignments on plays.
Yeah.
Do your job.
And you know, someone said, you know, is your scheme too difficult? And, you know, he's like,
no.
If it's too difficult, then maybe there's not a place for you in this league defensively. I liked what he had to say. I liked what he said about Mingo.
He was part of drafting Mingo.
Yeah. I mean, and he didn't pull any punches. I like him, but I don't know what he can do. I don't know what he's done the last 2 years.
It was very Gibbsian. I need to see it.
Yeah.
It was interesting, though, from listening to it, he didn't commit to him as an edge rusher. So what else could he be? Could it be like a dollar linebacker? Could he play some safety? Could
play some will.
Could he play some will? Right. Cover?
Yep.
I thought that was very interesting. And the other thing I was surprised nobody asked him, and we'll talk to him about it if we do get him on the show tomorrow, is Nate Orchard. You know, is Nate Orchard, does he believe Nate Orchard can be that
guy? Is he the Robin to Kruger's Batman or Batman to Kruger's Robin? Batman.
I can tell you this, Danny Shelton better be shedding some LBs.
Sounds like he wants him to be a three-down player.
Yep.
But that was good because we talked about it all year last year. We're subbing this package and that package, and there's no continuity on defense. The good teams
play
their guys. You're going to stay out there. He said, I want him on the field as much as we want him on the field. And I want him on the field a lot. I don't want him coming out of the game.
I thought he had some interesting comments about Tashawn Gibson. I think that's a guy that
right out of the gates.
That he's kind of marked as a guy that I'd like to have back.
Was the kind of acknowledging it's a business, and that could be what it could be.
Yeah. I like Ray. I don't think Ray mixes a whole lot of words. I like the whole, are we going to get it turned around this year? I don't know. We're going to make a heck of a run. We're going to see what we can do.
Give them hell.
We're going to give them hell. I mean, that's Ray.
And I think, but Ray alluded to it multiple times about this city and about this fan base. Give that product a team that punches people. You might not win a lot of games, but if you're out there giving effort and punching another team in the mouth consistently, it's just a matter of time before you put yourself in winning situations and you start to win more than you lose. At least your fan base can go, you know what? We lost a close game, but that team is feeling the effect of how our defense played, which can't be said of the last 2 years here in Cleveland.
Go back and look at the scores the year he was here. Defensive coordinator. I mean, we didn't have many. There weren't many high-scoring blowouts.
You mean they didn't give up 24 or more points in 10 straight games or whatever it was?
Correct.
That happened last year.
I'm looking it up right now. Let me see here.
The fact that the defense was
competitive.
He also chose to come here. To be with you, he was under contract and chose to come here, which I thought was also very telling.
So let's see. He had a couple, and I remember this because he kept saying, you know, our defense is going to get better. Our defense is going to get better as the season goes on.
He was
going
to say it's going to take about six games. And at that point, though, they were transitioning from the 4-3 to the 3-4.
Correct.
So now they've had 1 year in his system and then two more years in a 3-4. So that transition won't be as stark or as noticeable.
Yeah, no question. And he's got some guys that are familiar with his system. He's got some guys that understand what he's trying to do already.
I think guys that played well in his system should be excited to get here and have a refreshed approach to playing defense for the Cleveland Browns, which they haven't had in 2 years.
I think the linebackers in general are going to be excited because I think all that confusion and quote-unquote muddiness that you always talked about is going to be gone.
Yeah,
I agree.
Nope.
And I think that's a big thing.
I think the whole key is, and he said it, he goes, 3 years ago we didn't have a rusher. Not sure we still have a pass rusher. That we don't have one.
Until they change the rules.
Yeah. I think that's great. That's acknowledging, hey, stop playing one-on-one man coverage out on leaving your DBs on an island. Why are we putting the focus on the DBs?
Right.
Let's put the focus on the front seven
and
go kill a quarterback.
Carrying seven, eight corners and three linebackers and two of them that play predominantly the whole time.
Yeah.
Let your secondary make plays. All right, right after we're done with you, Gibbs, we're going to hear from Pep Hamilton. What were your thoughts on hearing Pep since you heard him earlier today?
Very quiet. He's very unassuming. Doesn't say a lot.
And he's in an interesting role because he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the head coach.
You know, the biggest thing was, you know, do you have a problem not calling plays? He goes, no, I want to win. I want to be hoisting the Lombardi. You know, I liked what he had to say about college, the top three quarterbacks, what he's looking for in a quarterback.
Oh, good.
You know, he recruited Jared Goff when he was at Stanford. So he's got
– And I like it.
You know, he's very familiar with Jared Goff. You know, he knows what he's got. He knows that – he seems very high on Travis Benjamin. That'll come off quite clearly.
Is that where the Tony Grossi tweet about Travis Benjamin and the Cleveland Browns being close to a contract agreement?
I would think. I mean, Tabor said some really great things, and we'll hear from Chris tomorrow. Chris got a standing O when he came in. The whole media stood up and cheered for him. That was kind of
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And
because
you know, they
survived?
They were like, so how many is it?
Four coaches,
four GMs,
two owners. In what, 5 years?
Four.
Wow.
Goo.
Eugh, greasy.
Yeah, exactly. I think it might be five. He said four, but I think we were all like, I think you mean five. Maybe you've been here a little longer than you think.
Interesting.
But, I mean, Pep is a guy that clearly is going to be working a lot with the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And whoever it's going to be, you know, and I think he learned a lot from the experience in Indy. You know, they asked him, you'll hear his answer coming up here in just a few minutes, but they said, you know, why didn't it work out in Indy? He goes, our expectations were Super Bowl or bust, and we didn't get there.
And Andrew Luck got hurt.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He goes, that's why I'm not in Indy.
I mean, that's why they signed Frank Gore. That's why they signed Andre Johnson. That's why they spent that kind of money, because as Nathan always says, if you feel like you're this player or these players the way, you make that move, don't even care how many zeros are in that contract, to put yourself in a situation to compete for a Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Gibbs, always a pleasure, Monfer. We'll have you back with us manana. When we come back, we're going to hear from Pep Hamilton, associate head coach of your Cleveland Browns.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. Let's go to the podium now and hear from Pep Hamilton.
Well, thanks for having me. My name is Pep Hamilton. Excited to be here. Excited to be a part of this tradition-rich franchise. And we're looking forward to doing all the things that Coach talked about, you know, with regards to, you know, being a competitive team that can go out and have a chance to win each Sunday. And offensively, we're going to be a physical team. To say that we're going to be a run-first team is probably not the appropriate thing to say, but I will say that we're going to work like heck to establish the run game, but we're ultimately going to do whatever it takes to feature our playmakers. And we consider offensive linemen to be playmakers as well. So it'll be exciting to watch, you know, watch our guys go out and compete every Sunday, but we have a long way to go. I guess the good news right now is we're undefeated and tied for first place. And so, you know, we're looking forward to having a great season.
Can you explain, there's no offensive coordinator title on Hugh's staff, and he says he's going to call the plays. So how do you integrate into that system then, and what are your responsibilities?
Well, we have a veteran offensive staff, you know, myself and Coach Saunders, Coach Seaman, Kirby Wilson, Hal Hunter. We have guys that, you know, they have a ton of expertise in a lot of different areas, and I think we'll ultimately collaborate our thoughts in an effort to support Coach and whatever strategies he come up with on a week-to-week basis. So my job is really, you know, just to facilitate what it is that Coach wants to do and to make sure that we organize things in a way that we can implement it to our players and go out and have a chance to be successful on Sundays.
Could you talk about what happened in Indianapolis and whether that left you at all bitter the way it all went down?
Well, I mean, it's fortunate, you know, as a coach in the National Football League to be in a situation where you're expected to win the World Championship. And ultimately, we didn't get that done.
How do you think, I mean, everybody expects you guys to draft a quarterback early. How do you think working with Andrew early in his NFL career will help you teach whoever that quarterback is?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, ultimately, between myself, of course, Coach Jackson, and all of the coaches on our offensive staff, we just, you know, you have different reference points. You know, you kind of have an idea of what to expect from a young quarterback early in his career in the National Football League. But I think to answer your question, I do feel like, you know, every quarterback is different, you know, and the plan for that kid, for whoever it is that we have at quarterback, be it a veteran quarterback or our young quarterback, if we draft a quarterback, you have to have a plan that's specific for that quarterback. And I feel like, you know, I've over the years I've had an opportunity to not only watch Andrew grow, but some of the other quarterbacks that I've worked with over the course of my career.
Do you expect to be very active in the scouting of the college quarterbacks?
I think that's always been the case with every franchise that I've been a part of. You know, you have an opportunity to evaluate guys and then share your opinion. But ultimately, it's not my decision to make. It's my job to help whoever we decide to make our quarterback transition into a winning quarterback.
Pep, would you expect to attend pro days and
oh, yes.
Do a lot of the interviews on the quarterback?
Absolutely.
How much work have you done already on the top guys?
Not a ton. We're still working to implement Coach Jackson's system here with our coaches and get ourselves ready for the start of the offseason program. But we're slowly starting to transition to preparing ourselves for the drafts. But for the draft, and so we're still somewhat are in the early phases of that process.
So when you go through this process, what are the characteristics that you seek in a quarterback?
Accuracy. Is he a winner? And of course, you know, leadership qualities are really important to Coach Jackson and myself.
So have you watched any film yet on like a Carson Wentz or a Paxton Lynch or Jared Goff? And if so, what do you think of the top three or four quarterbacks in this draft?
I haven't watched enough to have a strong opinion about any of those guys. I had a chance to recruit Jared while I was at Stanford. And, you know, I'm not surprised at all that, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks of college football.
What are your thoughts on the quarterbacks on the roster?
I think that, you know, starting with McCown, I've always loved having a veteran guy in the room that has full credibility throughout the locker room. But, you know, he's been productive over his career. You don't survive as long as he has in this league without having the skill set first and foremost, and then having a work ethic and a character that that ultimately, you know, would cause coaches and execs to feel comfortable enough to put the keys in your hands in a sense, you know. So I feel good about Josh, feel good about Austin, feel good about all the guys that we have on the roster currently, and I'm excited to work with those guys.
Is it Steph, have you guys discussed the possibility of having Josh Gordon next year?
We have not.
Who are your playmakers?
Well, Benjamin, big-time playmaker. Speed is off the chart. You know, he's shown that, you know, he can, you know, get over top of coverages, and he is a difference maker. You know, he's a guy that if you get the ball in his hands and you give him space, he'll make something happen with the football. He'll score it. And our tight end, Barnridge, is – am I saying it right?
Barnridge,
yeah. He's a special player. You know, tight ends have typically been the quarterback's best friend in Coach Jackson's offense, and so we're excited to see him continue to grow. And it was fun watching him play in the Pro Bowl. And Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, those guys have been very productive players for us and for this franchise, and we expect that they'll take another step as we move forward. So we have plenty of playmakers on the perimeter, but I do feel like the strength of our offense is the guys up front, you know. And like I said initially, I feel like you know, our offensive linemen in the style of offense that we expect to employ, we consider those guys to be playmakers because that's where it all starts.
Is it a little unnerving then, knowing you, a couple of those guys may not be there? I mean, you're talking about the strength of the offense, and there's two guys that could potentially be gone here in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, but you know it is, and I try not to think about it. But at the same time, I'm optimistic that things are going to work out, and just looking at what they've put on film, you know, over the course of their careers, you know, across the board, you know, those guys up front, it's exciting to see that the core, the probably the most important component besides your quarterback of your offense is we have a strong group in place.
Do you like big receivers? I mean, all guys like big receivers, but do you think you got your receivers really have to get, you need bigger ones than you have now?
Not necessarily. I think that ultimately we just want guys that can score touchdowns. If you look at just some of the defensive trends over the past few years, you know, teams are starting to play a lot more man coverage. And, you know, having guys that are elusive, quick, fast, regardless of their size, that can create separation and score the ball is what's most important for us in this offense.
Have you gone back and watched much of the tape from last year yet?
Yeah, we have to, so that we can evaluate the guys that are on the current roster.
When you look at it, they moved the ball between the 20s most of the season. I don't know exactly where they finished in the red zone, but it wasn't very high. What did you see? What were they missing? And what do you have to get going forward to stop kicking field goals and start scoring touchdowns?
Well, I don't know. When I go back and evaluate, when I went back to evaluate the guys that are on the team, I didn't watch the game in the actual order. You know, I more so watch cut-ups, so I don't have a strong opinion one way or another.
Do you have an opinion on what you guys want to do with Cam Irving starting from April 4th? It seemed like he was everywhere as a rookie.
Right. Well, I think it's very beneficial for rookie offensive linemen to have an opportunity to play at different spots across across the line. I do feel like, you know, with the style of offense that we'll end up using, that there will be opportunities for us to put more than five offensive linemen on the field. And I'm not saying that Cam can't go in and compete and win a job, but it was good to see that there were times when he was a dominant player. And we expect that over time, the more that he plays and once he has a chance to work with the offensive line coaches that we have here, he can be an every down player for us.
I know you said
I don't know yet. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I think it's a luxury to have a guy that can play tackle and or play center. Yeah.
I know you said you don't want to necessarily think of the offense as run first, but when you look at Isaiah and Duke, and I think that, you know, one of the things that have been talked about the last couple of years is, you know, the rotation and consistency. Are you of the philosophy that you have that bell cow, that lead guy, with a complimentary back, or are you a hot hand type of guy, or you just mix and match and rotate guys in? What is your philosophy when it comes to the approach to the running game and how you use your personnel?
Well, I think because of the attrition in the National Football League, you have to have more than one guy. And I feel strongly about the offensive line unit, like I just mentioned, and I do feel like our backs are very talented, and they can play without the ball. And I think Duke showed that last year. He had, 60-plus catches. Isaiah can do anything that we're going to ask him to do. So we'll ultimately need both guys, and we'll need someone else to step up as well. So we'll find a way to, if a guy is hot, to get him the ball, but we're going to need all those guys to step in and make plays for us.
Is it a drawback at all, personally, that Hugh wants to call the plays, and do you understand his desire to keep doing that?
No, it's not a drawback. You know, I want to win. I want to win this division, get to the playoffs and win some games and ultimately, you know, hoist the Lombardi. I mean, that's what it's all about. I personally don't feel like it's not about me. I do know that for a fact. I do know that ultimately in order for us to have a chance to be successful, everybody has to be all in and support each other and ultimately support the head coach. And so I'm on board with whatever it is that coach wants to do.
Why haven't you guys discussed Josh Gordon? Is it that he, since he's not reinstated yet, why bother doing that at this point? Or what's the deal there?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, Coach Jackson and Sashi and Andrew Berry, they've discussed Josh Gordon, but, you know, we hadn't really had a lot of discussions about personnel. You know, like I said, we're still in at the point where we're trying to get the offense in and get everybody on the same page from a terminology standpoint and get ourselves ready for the guys to report back on April 4th.
Well, let me be the first to ask, what about Manziel? How much of a discussion point is he?
And that's something that Coach and Sashi, they've already addressed, you know, above my pay grade.
That was Pep Hamilton. Interesting discussion from the guy. Nice little tidbit that he recruited Jared Goff to Stanford back in the day. We're going to take our final break now. We'll come back, give our final thoughts on what we heard from Pep Hamilton, Ray Horton. Last chance for your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850. It's Gern Wilhelm, CBD Wonderlic.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, wrapping it up here. Now, Matt, in the break, you were talking about something you heard from Pep Hamilton. What did you think about that? Just talking about the terminologies and everybody coming together and getting on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, we heard a little bit of that from Ray Horton, talking about some of the guys that played for him in 2013 and their recollection of his scheme. And probably, again, guys enjoying the fact that he's their coordinator again because they had some of their best years with Ray Horton. You hear from Pep Hamilton, and as I made mention, you got to figure – all these guys were in a different offensive scheme, which was not Hugh Jackson's. And they're all learning and kind of like creating apples to apple situations because, right, you know, in some cases it can be apples to oranges. You know, Kirby Wilson came from Minnesota, which sure. is a Norv Turner offense. You figure Al Saunders was where? Miami. Hal Hunter, Pep Hamilton in Indy. You got Hugh Jackson from Cincinnati. So, and I just even made mention because as I've, you know, to your luxury, I guess, I've brought in my notebooks from over the course of my career
which
with,
love.
You know, from San Diego, learning the Packers scheme, learning the Niners scheme. And there is, of course, some carryover because they're all 3-4 defenses. But the easiest one that I could say is in San Diego and in San Francisco, we used a number scheme. Like 21 personnel was, you know, two backs, one tight end. 22, right. Two backs, two tight ends. But in Green Bay, they used a deck of cards for their personnel. So kings, queens, tens, jacks, you know, aces, trump. Spades, you know, that so it's when Hugh's up there probably presenting the offense, you know, or maybe even to Pep and Pep's presenting it to the rest of the squad, these guys have to overcome old ways of doing things and other things that they've been accustomed to doing and really dropping all that information, which is years of information, and picking up something very quick so they can eloquently stand in front of their room of players and come across confident in this system and convey everything clearly and properly so that you can go out and execute it to the, you know, utmost degree on the practice field.
Absolutely.
So a lot of steps.
Just like we're about to go in there and get the Wonderlic. We got to solve that. It's coming up. We'll let you know how that goes. Thank you so much, Dino. For Dave DiNatale, for Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Segura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.